Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps over 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 16. This is Ed Hawken.
This is Randall.
And it's Labor Day weekend here in Los Angeles, and you know what also it is? Hot as hell. I bet you didn't, I wasn't sure if you were aware of that, Randall.
Yeah, it is hot as balls.
Yeah, what can you expect? It's the towards the end of summer, as it were. Although here in L.A., and I imagine a lot of other places around the country, there's always a heat spike in September, and especially in October. Like around my birthday, it always would get hot as hell. And you know why this would be a real pain in the ass? Because you know what? It's back to school for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Get your trapper keepers and your pencil bags. And
I know. I'd always dread this time of year around summer vacation. I don't know how you felt about it, but you know, when you have summer, it would just suck so bad. It's like, I don't want to go back. But it's like, when you work full time and it's like towards the end of summer, it's like, who gives a shit? I have to go back to work. So remember that, kids. You will have to soon, you know, get your spirit broken when you have to go to work. So
unless you have a cool job and it doesn't matter.
That's true. And if you're that, fuck you for being a lucky, lucky son of a bitch. You sons of bitches. How dare you? So I know for me, it's like school would always start around August or very early September. And then I don't know how it was for you. I don't know if it was around the same time. But
yeah, it was.
Real pain in the ass. Cause like,
we're the same age, so it's the same. We grew up in the same place, so it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. I'm just checking. So, and I know with my sisters and brother are actually in college now, so my mother's got the place herself, so who knows what stuff's going on over there. But
unspeakable horrors.
I doubt it'd be horrors, and but, you know, it's good for her, and I'm sure she's enjoying her newfound freedom. But like I said, I can't even, you know, it's the thing. It's funny when you're young. It's like you hate going to school because you'd rather be at home, and it's like when you either work at home or you've been unemployed, being at home ain't so great because you need money. So,
yeah,
it's tough to, you know, it's weird when you got to put stuff in perspective. It's like, now I just go to work. It's like, I don't take a day off. To do what exactly? To sit in this apartment? This death trap, as it were? No, that's what I say.
It's the rantings of a bitter, confused man.
Yes. Very, very confused in many fronts, if you get my drift. But other than that, as I said, it's been Labor Day weekend, and I, oddly enough, have a party to go to later, shocking as it may be, and it's a theme party, if you don't believe it, but you know what
the
theme
is? Yeah, what's the theme?
Preppy.
Preppy?
I got nothing on this. I never was a preppy kind of guy. I always followed the slobs versus the snobs. Plus, as a Jew, it's kind of hard to be a snob. It doesn't quite work that way. Because waspy doesn't quite work. They don't mesh quite well, and
actually,
I never had the common decency to pop my collar. But
yeah,
I could.
It happens though.
I could, in fact, put on my sunglasses and say, "Deal with it."
Yeah.
Okay. So I am looking forward to that, and I got some beers in the fridge here that are cooling as we speak. So I really look forward to that and have some good times. And speaking of good times, I just saw Machete yesterday. Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I think I'm going to see it tomorrow.
I'm not going to spoil it. I highly recommend it. Trejo. By the way, I bet you didn't know this. Danny Trejo is 66 years old. Yeah.
And he's 9 feet tall and 300 pounds.
Well, he's looked weathered for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
So it actually worked out in his favor.
He's the biggest Mexican ever.
Yeah, he is. He really takes up space, although not. He owns his scenes, but also, you know, obviously, you know who else who's in it? Fahey. And I have to agree with Rob on this. Fahey owns every frame that he's in. I mean, you can feel those blue steel eyes just glaring into you, you know, baring into your soul. And you know, like I said, he owns every scene he's in. And like I said, very good. I even say this is a great exploitation movie. I mean, it's like you can feel it. Like there's deep political meanings in this movie. You know, about immigration and shit. And I think I'm not spoiling anything on this. I will say I think one of the best things I saw about the movie is that the fact they called it an overnight production, which says a lot. Also, it's also Steven Seagal's best movie, best acting ever. I know that's a tall order.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you.
Well, that's not very... I mean, considering his body of work, where does that... I mean, how do you...
I'm saying it's compared to a lot.
To what, exactly?
A lot of things. A lot of things. And even Lindsay Lohan is... serves her purpose, if you get my drift. So she doesn't drag things down. Like I said, this was a lot better than Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I don't know if... Did you ever see that movie?
No, I never saw it all the way through.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. That was a mess.
His last picture was Planet
was like
Terror.
Kids movies.
Planet
no,
Terror,
he did
right?
Kids movies.
No, but wait, that was 2007.
Yeah, he did another movie called Shorts.
Oh, I thought he just produced that.
I have no idea, but I thought he did a kids movie. It's done like... It's either like, you know, canon-esque action movies and kids movies. Because he does it for his shit ton of kids. All of whom have the name R in it, so...
Yeah.
His
name is Rocket. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's Rocket Rodriguez and a shit... Apparently, some guy once told me that at the time when he was married to his wife, he had agreed to, like, every movie he got, he'd get to have another kid. So that's some deal, and wow. I feel bad for the wife in that situation. No wonder she divorced him. But like I said, really good movie. I was really surprised, especially for what we're now known as the dead zone of film. This is a highlight, and we're not going to really have anything worthwhile to see. I know you didn't really want to see it. I'm still interested in seeing The Town.
Wait, I didn't want to see what?
The Town? You said you didn't...
Well, yeah, I was really taken aback by the fact that Ben Affleck was starring in a movie that he had directed. I thought
right.
that was really... I thought that was kind of cheap, but...
Clint Eastwood does it all the time.
Yeah, but he's good. At acting.
Oh, speaking of that, I finally finished Gran Torino. Very good. I know Rob used to talk about how, because Eastwood has a very grizzled voice,
yeah.
That he thinks it's Batman talking. It's not Batman talking.
It's better than Batman's voice, man.
It is, because it's actually the voice of a very broken old man.
Yeah.
But I remember once hearing some reviewers saying that it was like, this is what happened to Harry Callahan after he retired. Harry Callahan was never a racist. He hated a lot of people. He was never a racist. In fact, I had seen... Christ, I forgot what the name of the second... Dirty Harry movie is, but he nails he lusts after an Asian girl.
I think the second movie is called Dead Magnum Barrel.
Magnum Force. He goes after an Asian chick, Asian neighbor, so he's no racist. You know, he's willing to go after any fine lady of any particular race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not, Harry Callahan was never racist.
Well, you mean his penis wasn't racist, I think is what you're saying.
Well, you know, unless that gets into the idea of the hate fuck, and I don't know really how that quite works.
We don't know what's going on in his head.
Yeah, he's just a hard man living a hard life and just wants to go after a fine lady. But like I said, Machete was good, really good stuff. I highly recommend it, especially for, I think, this audience would love the holy hell out of it. I also saw Scott Pilgrim again, just as brilliant. And fuck America for not getting this movie. God damn it.
Yeah.
What a surprise that people didn't catch on to this.
Well, not only that, I don't think it was just the fact that people didn't like it, but nobody saw it.
Yeah, and that's a real shame.
Because
it looks amazing on the big
screen. The marketing
was
annoying as piss.
Marketing was annoying as piss, and then, you know, some people would say, and I know we talked about this, that it was all Mike, because people didn't want to see Michael Cera. When I saw it again, I thought he was great. I honestly don't
know. He's great in it, yeah.
I don't know who would they have gotten to be in that role. I really think he holds his own. You know, it's weird that, like, there's this hate against Michael Cera, and you also look at Michael Cera, and it's like, there's no way Michael Cera can get all these chicks, you know, these fine-looking ladies in the movie. But at the same time, you know, to me, it's like, when I look at Scott Pilgrim, it reminds me of, like, True Romance. The fact this is, like an ultimate nerd romance movie. It's got everything that, like, a nerd would love to see. And it just happens that it doesn't have, you know, a somewhat good-looking guy like Christian Slater, but rather has Michael Cera.
But Michael Cera could get chicks. He's in a band.
Yeah.
Look at all the ugly dudes over the years who've gotten chicks being in a band.
It's the Woody Allen effect. But yeah, you're right, in a band.
He's in a fucking band. That's the only justification they need for him getting chicks.
That's true, actually. Explains a lot.
That's it.
Explains how is Jack White able to get any women. Have you seen Jack White lately? Holy shit. He looks terrible. So, you're absolutely right. And like I said... movie's getting a real raw deal, and that really sucks. And it'll
probably do better on DVD.
It'll do a lot
better.
But
the marketing was such shit. The posters were stupid. The trailers were stupid. I remember when I first saw the first trailer for that movie, I thought, this looks like a piece of shit. This is annoying as fuck, because all the jokes were, like, they were edited, and they just came off really differently.
I don't know how they would, but
the tone and style
as
of the
we
movie,
talked about this last time, I don't know how the hell they would have marketed.
Annoying as piss.
I don't know how the hell they would have marketed this. I mean, we're no marketing genius, but... Like, you know what, as I said, I mean, it's not going to hurt Edgar Wright, and he's 3 for 3 in my book, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's, and like I
said... Plus, it'll make its money back on DVD and stuff, yeah. So it's not like it's the end of the world.
And it's not like there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way. Like, I was rereading some of the books, and...
Don't, never say never, man, because they'll probably end up making a sequel to Watchmen and everything. Look at all these fucking Planet of the Apes. Look at all these fucking Planet of the Apes sequels and remakes and all that shit.
How the hell would they do a sequel to Watchmen?
It's not that they should, it's that they will. It doesn't matter.
I actually had heard about that they were going to do that in comic book form. They were going to somehow do that.
No, they were going to try, and then they wanted Alan Moore back to do it, and it was a bunch
of... then he immediately cursed them out and, you know...
Yeah.
Went back to his hole.
He sent his serpent god after them or whatever.
Yes. Cursed
them.
So he said, fuck you, I want to make my pornographic... you know, basically
teen pornographic novels.
Novels involving public domain children's characters from the 1890s.
Yeah.
So watch out for Alan Moore's The Yellow Kid coming soon to your local comic book shop. But speaking of comics, we had ourselves quite the coup a couple of weeks back, and we actually got to meet the man himself, Brian Lee O'Malley, the creator of Scott Pilgrim.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm not going to admit, I was on the fence. I did not originally want to go. I was in a foul mood. It was hot as hell as usual, and I didn't want to go. I didn't feel well, but you convinced me otherwise. And you know what? It was certainly for the best.
It was all right.
And you sir, really, you know, were beyond the... just. Move beyond the pale here. We're just actually that doesn't
say beyond the pale.
I don't know what I'm saying, but as usual,
above and beyond the
call of duty. Because you, sir, actually, you know, because we went to an area of Los Angeles over on Sawtelle, which is actually a Japanese area, and we went to this store, which we thought was a comic book store. It's actually a boutique, and we went down there for the signing, and we got there a few hours before. As shockingly, it was crowded. So we went down there. You actually kind of got dressed up, did you not?
Yeah, I made the sword of love bursting out of my chest.
Yeah.
Prop.
And it was a pretty good prop for no money spent.
I made it in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before.
And you know what was shocking? Not only did you do that prop, no one else dressed
up.
No
other. See, that's the thing. Fucking Los Angeles. I don't know what happened.
What the shit, America?
But Scott Pilgrim fans, anybody who was out there
or
lives in Los Angeles,
it's so easy to cosplay for this.
Yeah, I actually wore that thing because I thought there would be other people there,
and no one did
cosplaying. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to get pictures with these people, I better have a good reason to. Yeah. So I threw that together real quick because I was like, okay, you know, show support for Brian Lee O'Malley and have a good time. No, nobody, no one, not even one person, not even kind
of, not a single soul. You know what we instead saw? Fucking gothic Lolitas.
Yeah.
What the hell? What the hell?
Randomly.
Yeah.
Weird doll women.
They those are the gothic.
That's
Lolitas.
What I'm saying. Yeah. They're like, it was weird.
Yeah, I know.
Doll
it was complete bullshit
chicks.
And. The fact that...
A bunch of pussies, man. We can't believe nobody... Oh, there were some nice people there, though.
Now, it's funny you mentioned about the dressing up, because I'm going to get to that in just a second. But yeah, we waited in line. A lot of people were just standing around. I was acting like a jackass, as usual. And we
it
loved
was
it.
Hot, dude.
It
we
was
almost
hot.
Died out there.
It was really hot. No shade. You know, and we somehow made it. And it was we were one of the last people. And there was a restaurant next door. Now, this is worth mentioning because we have our man in Montreal, Martin, talking about poutine.
A.K.A. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes. Which we should actually... He apparently also, for the other fans out there, I just want to mention, he apparently dialed in the Brain Dead Radio show and then reenacted the entire Jean-Claude Van Damme speech from Street Fighter. He had to have three scotches. Now, the episode isn't out yet at the time of this broadcast, so who knows what we're going to see. But
or here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's a... This is an
we'll
audio
see, that's right. Yeah.
Duh. And so who knows what we'll hear. So look out for
that. That's amazing. Way to go, Martin. I hope... I look forward to that.
I know. I can't compete with that. And...
no one can.
No. So anyway, so this restaurant next door was selling poutine. I stupidly called it poutine, unfortunately, and I called it poutine because fucking there's the idiotic Degrassi-Kevin Smith crossover where Gene and Silent Bob show up and Jay keeps calling about
and they
poutine.
Sell butane? Oh, wait. Okay.
Butane? That's in a lighter. I'm talking about basically cheese curds with fries and gravy.
Now, I thought Canadians just drank gasoline. I don't know anything about Canada.
I should have gotten some, but it wasn't a fast food place. It was a sit-down restaurant. I didn't want to lose my place in line, so I'm like, I couldn't get any. So I didn't buy any, and I missed out, because no one sells that around
here. It's gravy fries, right? Just gravy?
It's fries with gravy with cheese curds. Fresh cheese curds.
That sounds really unhealthy.
It is extremely unhealthy, which, you know, begs the question of, like, what is your favorite fast food?
My favorite fast food?
Yeah.
I really like the fried chicken sandwich at Jack in the Box.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Crispy chicken sandwich?
Crispy chicken sandwich.
Not the dollar one, though, like the good one, the one in the combo.
The $4.
Like I'm just saying that's the fast food that if I could eat every day for the rest of my life, I'd eat that. With curly fries.
Okay. Chicken soft taco from Del Taco.
No.
It's very good.
Good choice.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. And speaking of that, they just came out with this thing. Burger King is apparently coming. They made a Whopper pizza. Looks foul.
Oh, I saw that.
Foul.
I actually want to try it. I know it
is. That looks fucking foul.
It looks horrendous, but I just got to give it a try.
I take the Jim Gaffigan Hot Pocket method regarding this food. Take the food, take it out of its box, drop it in toilet. That's all you need to do.
I have an iron stomach, so I can take anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, God. I'd be destroyed by this.
Yeah.
I would literally explode into a pile of coins if I ate that food. So,
or maybe
a
pile of Burger King crowns or something.
Well, yeah, that's
actually ketchup packets.
No, just be Burger cardboard crowns.
Yeah,
just explode into a pile of crowns. But going back to the O'Malley signing, so we stood there in line. We were the last people to show up. We were delirious. You know, a lot of people were standing around. Some people had T-shirts and, you know, all that stuff. We ran into Xander the previous episode. I knew he was going to be there. He was there, you know, so we showed up, said hi. So we were one of the last people to show up. So we waited all that time. The line snuck its way through. And we finally go in there. So at this
point... Wait. Before we get to that part, we were, like, the last two people that were allowed in to the signing.
That's right.
And then they cut off the line, and they just made everybody else wait outside until they came out later on for the game thing. And I'm sure everybody else got autographs and pictures later on and stuff too, but this lady who worked there was like, she just cut off the line. It was fuck you guys. And there was like a huge line behind us, and they're like, "Bip, you gotta wait.
Right.
Go fuck yourselves."
And, so yeah, we really lucked out.
I'm paraphrasing, but...
Of course.
Yeah, and so we got very lucky to be able to get in.
We did. We lucked out, and I have to say, I was stupidly not going for, because my original thing was like, there's going to be too many fucking people there.
Too many people. It was too hot, and it was annoying, but
right.
It was still awesome at the same time.
Yes, it was, and we lucked out. We got into the store, and we were standing. Now, this is a great moment. So as we were standing there, we were actually in the store, which we actually learned was a boutique. It was not a comic book store.
You're saying boutique, but it was more like an art...
Yeah, a boutique.
Is
so
that
clothes.
A boutique
is like a small store with like a few items on the shelves.
Oh, I thought that was
like a specialty store.
Okay.
So it's like an art store, boutique, it's not a gallery.
It's got a gallery in it.
Yeah, and they sold some Scott Pilgrim shirts, which looked okay, but I didn't buy any.
Yeah, they were cool. They were cheap, but just too lazy.
I didn't feel like buying one. And so that he was there, and you were getting some cool... People were like, "Oh, I want to take pictures of the heart sword." You got scored some of that.
Yeah.
So... The woman from the store comes back in there and says, like, "So-and-so's car is getting, you know, do you drive such and such a car? You're getting towed."
That lady was yelling out about a Civic.
Some random...
She was
chanting, Silver Civic.
She was running down the aisle screaming Silver Civic, but the way she was saying it, and she had a thick accent, I couldn't understand what
she was
saying.
People were like, What's going on? So this is me yelling at... And I was like, I think maybe the old Mally was like saying, "What's going on?" It's like, "Oh, yeah, someone's getting their tow card."
Yeah.
I immediately didn't realize what I was saying until after I said it, and they were like, "Bro, I just busted up laughing."
The tow card, which should have been car towed.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
So I fully expect if Brian Lee O'Malley ever creates another piece of work, somewhere that line is going to show up. I highly believe it, because that is internet meme worthy right there. The fact that someone's toe is getting card. So yeah, we finally made it. I had my volume number 6. I went up to him and I said, "I know you're tired, so a simple signature suffice." I said, "I'm not tired. I had 3 green teas. I'm fine." So,
yeah,
and even
really
then,
cool.
I didn't, like, what am I going to ask the guy? I didn't, it's always, I'm not sure what to do, because I'm like...
You choked.
I didn't choke.
You choked.
Because
you got
I had
nervous,
no plan.
Man.
I had no plan, so there's nothing to choke.
But you should have gotten a picture with him.
I tried. true. I didn't feel like doing that. So I was like, eh. I was like, whatever.
I came all the way out there. You got to get a photo, man.
I should have, but, you know, it's no biggie. But you got yourself a photo. And a very nice photo, too.
Yeah.
That, which is, you know, real
yes,
cool.
Yes, and by the way, thank you for taking that photo.
I did. And, you know, that should, photo should, I think it's even on the Braindead Radio forums at forums.braindeadradio.com. Really? I mean, you were the only one to have dressed up, and the fact that no one else did.
Yeah, and that's not a boast. That's actually, I'm kind of bitter about it. I really wish there had been other people there who'd done something.
I know, and it's so, and I fully expect there's going to be a lot of people dressing up.
There wasn't even one.
Easy.
There wasn't even one Ramona Flowers.
So fucking easy to do that.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Outrageous. The fact that I could go as Gideon Graves right now, or if I took these shorts off, I'd be Wallace Wells.
Yeah.
Don't, I'm not going to
do that. Please don't
do
that.
I will not.
Let's keep the clothes on during the podcast.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. This isn't Stern, and I'm not doing that. But anyway, so talking about Scott Pilgrim, last week they had the Scott Pilgrim video game, and I... Watch out, trademark phrase coming in 3, 2, 1.
Let me tell you,
this game, awesome. Less than $10 on Xbox Live.
Wow.
It is a classic beat-em-up. I have it on my Xbox. I beat it in a couple of days. Not that difficult. Game's challenging in the respect that if you lose your lives, you have to start from the beginning. Oh, well.
Oh, fuck.
But it's a classic beat 'em up. And you know what? And I, you know, of our day. So it's a fantastic game. And it's got great little in-jokes. And we're getting into a second because the music is fucking awesome in this game. But in terms of the beat 'em up, do you ever had a favorite beat 'em up video game?
I think it's the old Ninja Turtles game, the arcade game.
The arcade game?
Yeah.
Which one, the original or Turtles in Time?
The first one, the original,
I always like
I've actually, I know this is going to sound really weird, I've never played Turtles in Time.
Really?
And that's not, like, I want to, but for some reason, it's never kind of worked out. I was trying to find it on an emulator, I can't find it.
That's weird. I mean, they have
back in the day, I tried to get it, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and all this shit, so I've never actually been able to play it. I think I played a little bit one time, like, years ago, but I can't remember. And now I'm screwed.
See, they have it on live, but see, because this is the thing I'm not crazy about, what they're doing with the revamping of game video games, is that they smooth it for HD, and I don't like the way they smooth it. It looks sterile,
retarded.
Bland.
Do you mean they recolor it?
It's not. I mean, they recolor it. It's very, very smooth. It looks like old-fashioned CGI. Basically, it's very, very smooth.
So it doesn't look 2D anymore?
It's not 2D. It's not pixelated. It just looks very, very bland. Now, the cool thing about the Scott Pilgrim game, it is pixelated.
Yeah.
And that's what adds to the joy and the fun of it. Like I said, this is a really good game. And in terms of beat-em-ups for me, I always like the Simpsons arcade game because that's the best Simpsons game. And then Streets of Rage, probably Streets of Rage 2. I'm trying to think of Final Fight. The problem with the beat-em-ups in the consoles is that they're very repetitive, and this is why the genre kind of died out. I have to hand it to the Scott Pilgrim game because it's not repetitive. Because like I have the Sega Master Collection, which is like a compilation of a bunch of Genesis games, and I'm playing Streets of Rage. And it's so boring. It's like punch, 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 dead, punch, punch. It's very repetitive.
That's what's cool about the old Ninja Turtles game is that even though it is slightly, you know, there's repetition, but you know they mix it up quite a bit too.
Yeah, I mean, even Turtles in Time is great about that because Turtles in Time you could throw enemies at the screen. You had different levels of different, you know, times. My personal favorite, the 2020 game with the 2020 level where you're like on hoverboards and you're like fighting against techno towers because I personally want that kind of future. And
that would be awesome.
It's never going to happen. And
never say never.
Well, we'll see about that. But so, yeah, and the Scott Pilgrim is its roots based in River City Ransom, which is a very unique game because there's no other game like it. Which was it was a beat 'em up with RPG elements. I don't know if you ever played River City Ransom. I played it.
It way sounds back really ago. Familiar, but I can't remember.
Basically, kind of like these blocky guys. You have to save your high school girlfriend by kicking the shit out of people around the town, and then you have to go into the high school and you soup up your character by buying various attributes and. Bad guys will leave change in the ground. And the thing with River City Ransom,
cool.
I had to watch a walkthrough because I never beat the game. And because, of course, way back in the day, you didn't have walkthroughs. You didn't have the internet. So, and the thing with NES games, unless you had, you didn't know what the fuck you're doing. So it would be like, you play it for a little bit. I don't know what, the, you know, you're screwed. So it has its roots based in that. And the game, like I said, it's got great in-jokes. And you know, I'll show it to you later on. This is the only video game I know of that features a cameo by a major Hollywood director. Yes, that's right. Edgar Wright has a cameo in this game. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I really was blown away. And it was really, really fun, I have to say. And it's so great. It was really good.
I haven't played it yet, but I think we're going to play it after the show.
Oh, yeah, so. We're going to play it after the show and have ourselves a good ball. And like I said, you know, O'Malley, well, I don't know what O'Malley's going to do next, but, you know, more power to him. But, you know, there's a great work here, and it's to me, it's a seminal work, and I'm glad it's out there.
So, speaking of comics and nerdiness, I don't want to alarm you.
Right.
But Galactus is coming.
What do you mean?
You're familiar with Galactus?
Yeah, he eats planets and all that.
The Fantastic Four villain who devours planets throughout the universe.
Yeah.
Sends out his herald, the Silver Surfer. Well, back in the day, it was the Silver Surfer.
Right.
Now it's some other, other douchebag.
Yeah.
But, to survey planets for consumption.
Right.
He's coming.
Well, actually, I ran into Galactus once at an industrial club. He was wearing his outfit, and he had a bathrobe on. I said, "What happened, man? Are you on your day off?" He's like, "No, Galactus is unemployed."
Was it just the dude in the helmet? He had a mask on?
He may have been.
So, Comic-Con this year released an exclusive... This is Toy Talk. We've never talked about action figures on the show. I don't think ever.
Because I never bought any action figures.
Right, which we'll get back to that. But I had to announce it. I know there's some listeners who, like myself, enjoy toys and action
figures. That'd be the king of the Jews, obviously.
And I just got the confirmation that my Comic-Con exclusive Galactus for the new Marvel... There's like a new 3-inch line. I forgot what it's called. I wanted to call it
Do they look like Lego people?
No. It's not... I want to call them Showdown, but I forgot what it... There was a line a couple years ago that is similar, but I can't remember what it is, the new Marvel Universe line. There's a 19-inch Galactus sculpted like no other Galactus before.
Okay.
Comes with a tiny Silver Surfer. People were killing each other and paying exorbitant amounts of money to get a hold of this thing at con, and that's it. You're looking at me blankly because this clearly.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I know people have accused me of being a robot because I've never bought action figures.
Well, there's no proof to the contrary.
I do believe. Either that, why did they? You know, as I always say, why did they develop a robot with shitty eyesight?
No proof.
What happened? Did someone get drunk and hit my body with a wrench, and that's how I got bad eyesight? What the hell?
It could be.
Yeah, right. No, that's fine. I never got into it just because to me it's like, oh man. I mean, there's some great busts and action figures. It's like, to me, it just sits on the shelf. I'm like, okay, I've got it.
It's cool to look at, man.
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, as a kid, you play with them and have all kinds of crazy imaginary adventures, and yes, have deviant
sex with it.
No.
I don't mean have sex with it. You have the action figures have sex with each other.
But then, you know, now fucking statues are too expensive, man. It costs like $300. Some of the ones that I really like are like $500.
Yeah, that's
fucking
way
statues,
too much.
Dude. I take out a fucking loan to get a goddamn bust.
Yeah, that seems a little
that's
bit
bullshit.
Of like. Kind of shows you what your priorities are if you're spending that much on statues.
Well, either that or you just have an amazing amount of disposable
you're very
income.
You're very, very rich and you have a very cool job, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, you goddamn son of a bitch. Either that or you live in a hovel and that's all you spend your money on.
Yeah. But anyway, so...
Yeah, I never bought... I mean, and I say that because I'll buy, like, stuffed toys. And I know because I bought...
Yeah, see, you can't rationalize...
But I don't buy stuffed toys all the time.
You can't rationalize not buying action figures and then rationalize buying stuffed toys. It's just a thing that you like.
Yeah, it's true. But you can play with a stuffed toy much like an action figure. By the way, what's your favorite action figure?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Only one?
I don't know.
Well, I have this gigantic RoboCop in this bot me that talks, and it looks just like Peter Weller. It's like 20 inches tall or something.
Right.
And it's a perfect replica of the suit from the movie.
That's good.
And it's fucking amazing. It's probably the coolest thing.
By the way, did you hear the reason why they never made another... They didn't make the Darren Aronofsky RoboCop? It was simply because they ran out of money.
Really?
There was no money. That was it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well,
it's probably for the best.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of stuff, movies coming out... The Hobo with a Shotgun trailer was released. I'm telling you, with Machete, Hobo with a Shotgun. this should have been what Grindhouse was.
Yeah,
you know, really should have been.
And you were
saying that movie could be god awful. That trailer looks great.
It does. And you were saying that these are Canada's new heroes.
Scott Pilgrim and Hobo with a Shotgun are now Canada's two top heroes.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's all you need.
Yeah, for Canada, they don't need Alpha Flight. Yeah. They just need Scott Pilgrim and Hobo. Frankly, Hobo with a Shotgun is going to put Halifax, Nova Scotia on the map.
That's right.
I don't know where the fuck it is right now. So
I'm drawing a blank.
It's the best thing Halifax has got. So Rutger Howard is the titular Hobo, and he's got a shotgun. That's all there is to it.
That's pretty much it, and it's amazing. And they did a little nice. They didn't try to recreate the original trailer, which was pretty cool.
There were scenes that I saw that.
No, I just mean the structure.
Similar.
The structure and everything wasn't the same, and it was good because they played it totally differently, and they gave Rutger Hauer a lot of dialogue and stuff, and it was really well done. And obviously, Hauer's awesome.
Right.
And certainly looks interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the movie shouldn't have cost.
It can't be as good as the trailer, the original trailer.
Yeah, right? That's true. I know some people were saying, why didn't they get the original guy from the trailer, David Brunt? Well, David Brunt is a real homeless guy. And
he can't carry a feature.
He can't carry a feature. And they talked about how even difficult it was to even have him recite his lines because he sadly messed up in the head. So we'll see how this movie goes. I am game. I imagine it's not going to be very good, but you know what? How good are you going to expect Hobo with a Shotgun?
Plus, you got to support the guys who made a little trailer in Canada and now are producing a full feature based on that.
I agree. I mean, you know, like I said, this is a perfect double feature for Machete. Perfect.
Absolutely,
double
yeah.
feature. And I can't wait for a Hobo with a Shotgun because really, there's not much else you know, coming out, you know, movie-wise. So why not? I mean, it's...
Well, it's certainly original.
Yeah, well, it'll certainly be better than Snakes on a Plane. And unfortunately, with Snakes on a Plane, there was just too much hype.
Where did that come from, Snakes on a Plane, man?
Well,
it hurts when you mention that.
Well, I mention it because it's a similar thing that came from the internet.
Yeah.
Someone wrote a script called Snakes on a Plane. Someone got caught wind of it on the internet, built up to a hype to ridiculous levels, created a signature line, and then they created Snakes on a Plane.
Yep. And then they tried to release it as a blockbuster, and then...
Yeah.
No one remembers it.
No one remembers it because it was just not very memorable. I mean, it was obviously not a good movie, but it was just not
very
memorable.
And it had a huge competition. It was no Anaconda.
Although, did you see Piranha 3D?
No.
Neither have I. But apparently
Cameron is pissed about the use of 3D. He's the 3D police now.
Bullshit.
He's telling people what not to do in 3D.
Speaking of that, he re-released Avatar.
Yeah.
With even more, like, five
minutes. 10 more minutes of footage.
Because he desperately needs money, people.
Yeah, well...
Jesus Christ.
That's a cool movie, man. I like it.
I don't know. I just can't get excited for that movie.
You don't have to like it, but you also don't have to watch it. So
that's very true. Hey, I saw it.
Because we live in a goddamn free country. We can re-release goddamned Avatar if we want to.
But people are not seeing Scott Pilgrim. They're fucking watching Vampires Suck, but unfortunately there's always going to be that sect of morons out there.
Okay, look, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Scott Pilgrim, and this is exactly why
Hold
on. Whoa, relax.
Okay.
Here's the problem with Scott Pilgrim, okay?
It's too smart.
There's nothing wrong with everyone's perception of the movie without having seen the movie.
Right.
Because it's every single thing. When I saw the trailer, I immediately thought, fucking Michael Cera again playing the same goddamn person. I know that's not what happened in the movie, but that's all I saw in the goddamn trailer.
Yeah.
Was him being, you know, insecure, weird, funny guy, and his shtick that he does in every movie. And this hipster bullshit trappings and all this stuff and a confused, weird dialogue that didn't make any sense. And it just didn't look like anything. So it's like a romantic comedy, but it's got weird anime action in it.
Yep.
It didn't make any sense when you see it and you don't know how it's going to be played or if it's going to be really good or it's going to work at all. But it seemed really hackneyed and really just, you know, for all those reasons, it just seemed like something not worth going to see. Not to mention, as great as Edgar Wright is, he's amazing. And I have to thank you for introducing me to Edgar Wright in the first place, but many years ago. But as great as Edgar Wright is, nobody knows who he is. Like, a huge mainstream audience doesn't know who he is. So unfortunately, you know, you got on the other end of the spectrum, you got James Cameron, who everybody knows who he is, and they think he's got something, you know, he's got something to offer. So they go see his movie, but nobody knows Edgar Wright, nobody knows Scott Pilgrim, and the people who were in charge of marketing the movie fucked up big time with stupid posters and stupid everything, just a bunch of shit. And then now the movie's suffering. It's limping.
Yeah.
You know? So
true shame.
Universal.
Fuck America, basically.
Yeah. Universal
because
Studios.
Because you know what? There's only one example where I spoke to someone and they didn't like Scott Pilgrim. On further examination, he hadn't read the books.
Who was Who was this? He hadn't seen the movie or read the books,
but he said it was stupid.
But he said it was stupid.
So I got his ass deported. So
there you go. Fuck
I deported him for not respecting Canada's best hero. Yes. No, I'm not going to name this individual on air. You could kind of figure it out.
Don't sell him out, man. Don't throw him under the bus.
I'll throw him under the goddamn bus if I want to, but I won't name names. This is a...
Can you do like an analog name? Like first name rhyme with him? Do I know this person?
It's a person I've talked about before off air, unfortunately. A certain individual from the Pacific Northwest. Not nerdiest.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it. We'll leave it at that. Shit. Yeah, it's that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, hey. I know who you are, motherfucker.
This guy is a fucking video game nut, goes to PAX, although he's not going to PAX this year, and he doesn't like Scott Pilgrim. What the fuck? What the fuck? 2 + 2 = 5? It does not compute! I basically just started fucking around hardcore and felt never better, I tell you.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
Like I said, I got his ass deported. So yeah. I feel better.
There you go.
And, I scored one for this country.
Well, that is un-American.
It's very un-American.
And it's goddamn un-Canadian, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. How does that even work to be un-Canadian? I mean...
Well, you're not nice.
I guess. You're not nice. You don't use the reference of guy... Buddy, a friend.
Don't say A.
A. You don't watch Trailer Park. You insult Trailer Park Boys. I've only watched a few scenes of that. I never finished it.
I guess you don't like Degrassi.
Well, I don't like Degrassi anyway, but...
Well, you're un-Canadian, sir.
Well, I'm an American. What do you expect?
That's right.
American. Dirk-a-dur. And, I encountered one person that didn't like Scott Pilgrim.
But that's not easy. That's unsubstantiated. I mean, at least see the goddamn movie before you say
that. He didn't see the goddamn movie or read the goddamn books, and his reasoning was horseshit on all levels.
Yeah.
Absolutely
nonsense. Well, that guy can't be trusted anyway.
Yeah, you goddamn right, unfortunately. Real shame.
Yeah.
Real shame. But like I said, perfect audience. Didn't go for it. No idea why. Makes no sense in my book. But going on more further about Scott Pilgrim, just to mention one other thing. I actually, going back to the Scott Pilgrim video game, like I said, the music is fantastic. Well, there was, courtesy of our friend Xander, had referred this, there was a show last week by Onomataguchi. Long fucking name. I don't know why they call themselves that. It's a real long fucking name. They're a chiptune band.
Yeah.
And they did the music for the game. And
They actually composed the music for the game? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They did that, and I think they also may have done some stuff for the movie. I'm not sure, but they're a chiptune band. So, Xander had mentioned about this concert over at Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard. I actually think this comic shop was the comic shop in True Romance. And
I don't think it existed back then.
No, they mentioned it on the commentary.
What?
And what?
Has it been around that long? I don't
the
remember
comic shop?
Meltdown being around
I think it was under different ownership, but if you go in there... The back looks very similar to what's in the movie, in my view.
No, I agree. I just didn't realize that was the same place.
Yeah, I think it is. So anyway, they had their concert. I had never been to a chiptune concert, and this was only $10. So I go over there. I was rocking the BDR shirt, doing my part.
Yeah.
And no one asked me who they were. And a lot of nerdy people. We can all tell we were all of a similar crowd. We all didn't have haircuts. We all had glasses. We were a bunch of nerdy-looking hipsters, and I was the best-looking guy there. I think I was in the best shape, too. So anyway, they do the show. It was really good. Surprise, surprise, a fucking pit broke out. It was once again hot as hell, because we did it in some back room, the show. And really good stuff. I danced a bit. Obviously wasn't going to go in the pit area. It was stupid, because if you listen to the music from the video game, you're like, how do people mosh to this? You gotta be kidding me.
I was confused about the moshing to the 8-bit music myself, because I've never played Mario and ever thought I wanted to mosh to that.
It's ridiculous. It's like anything with a beat, people start thrashing against each other.
But like
stupid.
It's like do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, it's like, how do you... I don't understand. Because like, even if it's faster, like Mega Man or something...
Well, it has a beat, but
I don't
get that
Fighter.
Behavior.
I
do not understand that behavior.
Wait, no, you're saying moshing in general.
Yeah.
No, I mean moshing.
Well, you know
I'm talking
Dr.
about
Funkill.
Yeah, I do. I meant moshing to 8-bit music.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Oh, and then there was even an opening act called DAD, and no one moshed that, obviously. It was a lot of 80s synth, like Michael Mann, like 80s synth. It was really, really good.
Oh, God, I hate that shit.
I love that shit. And I was joking around with some random guys. We were like, hey, try and mosh this, and it's really slow synth. So like,
slow motion mosh.
Yeah, you're like putting way too much energy.
Yeah.
And some guys.
By the way, you were doing pantomime on a podcast there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So what?
That's why I had to say slow motion mosh.
Yes. Oh, and some guy was wearing an Illusions of Gaia t-shirt. I'm like, God damn, that's obscure. And
is that from Final Fantasy?
No, it's a it was a role-playing game for the Super Nintendo. And
I don't know what that was.
I think it came out in the early 90s. It was a it dealt with the game involved like Wonders of the World. I remember the final level dealing with the Tower of Babel. That's it.
Jesus Christ.
I never really played
the game. That's like an intelligent nerd game.
What, that involved the Tower of Babel?
Yeah, well, it's referencing history and everything. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like ancient Babylonian shit.
Yeah. So, Anamanaguchi did the show. Really, really good stuff. If they're in your town, check them out. They were really good. It was, although they didn't, they played a lot of stuff I hadn't heard of. And the show was kind of short. I think it may have been an hour long, which is fine, because I had work the next day. And it was really good. They didn't play one track I really wanted to play, which is the third level in Scott Pilgrim's Lee's Place. If you know the game, great. That's a great song. They didn't play it. They played music from the first level and the trailer music from the video game, and then they played a bunch of other stuff.
Those fuckers.
Obviously, people lost their shit. And you know what was cool? There were two cool things. One, I danced next to a girl dressed like Knives, which was awesome.
Nice.
Second, I didn't get caught in the mosh pit because there was a big guy keeping defense. Third, apparently Jonan Vasquez was there, and I didn't even recognize him. Had someone not pointed this out to me, I wouldn't have recognized Jonan Vasquez, the guy who created Invader Zim. He was just standing there in the background, like just talking to people, and just looks like some guy.
Fucking A, man. I'm incredibly jealous that you're in the vicinity of Jonan Vasquez.
I was in the vicinity. I'd say hi to him. Like, what would I have said to him? Like, have you done anything in the last 5 years?
Hey, what were we going to say? Hey, I love your work. Hey,
that's what
awesome.
I was going to like. That's why I was reluctant to do it with Brian O'Leary O'Malley.
Hey, everything you've ever done is cool.
Yeah,
nice
it's like,
work.
I'm not going to say anything original. I have no questions. You know, it was like.
What's the problem with going up and saying hey?
I said hey. I don't know. I just didn't feel it.
Like hey.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I got.
You should. I would have loved to seen your interpretation of Scott Pilgrim.
Which would have been identical to what we got.
It probably would have been a lot more distorted and a lot meaner, I bet, if we had Jonan Vasquez as Scott Pilgrim.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it seems like
everything would have been like
elongated. The movie reminds me of something very similar to Jonan Vasquez.
Yeah, perhaps.
Just that crazy action.
It
would
have been set. It would have been set in Orange County, and
isn't he from San Diego?
Some shit like that. It's all one area. It's all a blur anyway. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, I saw him. I didn't say anything. I was just standing around, and it's a good show. Nice. So I've now seen two concerts this year. That's more than I've seen in a few years, actually. So it's really good times. Really, really good times. And like I said, Anamanaguchi, real pain in the ass long name. But and I don't know any member of the fucking band.
Check him out on YouTube.
Check him out on YouTube. They also did the opening song to the Nerdist podcast, which I briefly liked. I stopped listening to it. It was very funny. If anyone is listening to that podcast, the Nerdist podcast, and know that theme song, people were fucking moshing, thrashing to that. It's ridiculous. Really? You know? Yeah. Just makes me want to get up on my soapbox again and just yell at some people.
People can mosh to whatever they want to mosh to.
It's just
I don't understand. What do you mean it's stupid? God, you're judgmental, man.
I don't know. I want either Fight Club or I want the show. I don't want both.
Well, nobody gives a shit. You just show up and do what you're going to do. Nobody
Fine.
Cares. Like, what is, like, we got to check with everyone first to make sure everybody's comfortable with the concert?
I work by
There's
consensus.
One guy who does. Even if you could vote for this,
I'd be
you'd be in the minority. You'd be in the insane minority.
That's true. That's why I was in the back, bopping around, dancing next to Knives, yelling out random shit, cursing a lot, and, having myself a ball.
What were you yelling? Like, everybody sit down? Everybody be quiet?
No, just like, it's like, stop. This is some good shit right here, huh?
Stop moving around?
No, it's like, this is some good shit, huh? You know, and just like, you know, just yelling
why
at
is it?
Comics.
Why is everyone so fat? Why does it smell vaguely of ham?
Oh, yeah, it was, in the comic books, there was such piss poor ventilation. It was It was stuffy.
Yeah.
I was dying in there.
Who smells like cheese?
Possibly. You know, these are, you know, the hipsters and the nerd, and yeah. real nerds, man. It was a great unwashed. They also, at the store, had Scott Pilgrim dolls. They were like $25 and they looked kind of cheap looking. It's kind of sad. Yeah. But like I said...
Wait, can I ask you something real quick? So at the nerd, you're saying there was a huge, obviously it's a comic store and it's an 8-bit concert. This is Nerdtopia.
Right.
I'm not saying this judgmentally. I'm a huge nerd myself. I'm not trying to be derogatory toward nerd kind here, but there's different kinds of nerds, and having worked in a comic book store for a long time, I'm kind of familiar with them.
We had some of the... There, just to cut you off, there were some actually some guys from your days in the comic book store at the show.
What?
It was a little creepy.
Wait, people from Jerry's? People you recognize from Jerry's?
No, I'm just saying guys like that.
Oh, very similar guys?
Yes.
Like that? Yeah. I was going to ask you if there's one specific type, because this is a very common
tall
type.
Like kind of schlumpy balding.
Well, there's that, but what I meant was there this guy. This is a standard nerd attire. You got khaki shorts, cargo shorts.
Yes.
T-shirt, pop culture T-shirt, but like super geeky though, like something you're like something you look at and you go, that's a little too geeky. I can't really, I'm not gonna rock that. It's almost borderline ironic, but it would be ironic on a hipster, but it's just kind of sad on a normal person.
Yes,
which is why nobody buys them. But something like that, some kind of shirt like that, and then a like denim shirt over that, like a, you know, like a collared pocket.
No shirt jackets, and how dare you, because I used to wear shirt jackets.
Sorry.
But no, a lot of shorts, beefy individuals, a lot of glasses, plastic glasses.
Yeah, tube socks.
A lot of mustaches, which was horrifying. One guy, not douchebag, but real skeezy-looking fuck with a members-only jacket and a bad, untrimmed mustache and some god-awful plastic glasses.
He's like a fucking
pedophile, basically. Pedophile.
Yeah, raging pedophile.
Yeah, and... a lot of tight pants.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you're par for the course.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a really good show for $10. Can't be beat. Their merchandise looked kind of shitty, but I didn't buy anything. I wasn't there for that. So I just hung around. I ate at a Wendy's and, no one was rocking the BDR shirt. And, you know, maybe I'll get someone to say something. No one did. So I did that, and that was
Are good. You saying no one listens to BDR?
Well, I was...
That is a bold statement.
I'm not saying that. I was trying to show... Maybe people thought it was, you know... There was a funny thing where, like, I had changed right before I left work. And I had changed into my casual clothes. I looked like a college student. And I got off the... Well, I was getting off... As I was about to get off the elevator, the receptionist from one of our higher floors saw me. So I'm like, oh, I wasn't prepared. It's like, I said to her, oh, you caught me off guard.
So, in what, street clothes?
Yeah, well,
in your
civvies?
Brain
did radio on it. I was a little concerned. So.
Concerned about what?
People finding out, I guess. No,
finding out about what? Branded radio?
I guess. No,
yeah, they don't know. The people you work with do not know what branded radio is.
I'm very sure of that. I'm very sure.
You don't work with geeks, right?
Not really, no. And I'm just not enthused about my coworkers, so I just keep to myself.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, exactly. So,
no offense to BDR, I'm just saying there's a certain demographic that doesn't know anything.
I don't know.
They don't even go on the fucking internet, man.
Yeah, right. We may have just pissed Rob off, though. I don't know.
We're not saying nobody listens to BDR. Ed is saying no one listens to BDR.
How dare you? How dare you?
I am saying
this is some type of coup attempt.
I am saying that
right
the people, there's a good chance the people you work with don't even know how to use a computer.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because in LA, everybody who has a job that works in an office, only like 30% know how to use a computer, and it's infuriating if you're trying to get work done.
Right. Oh, I agree.
I'm not saying that pertaining to my current job, but my old jobs, nobody knew anything, and it was just... That was the most consistent... That was the most consistent thing you could bet on at every single job, is that no one knew anything. So I'm just saying, like, no one's going to know your podcast because no one even knows how to turn on a computer.
Exactly.
So that's what you're dealing with there.
Right. So... Oh, and speaking of meeting famous people, to continue name dropping, prior, I think, to I think it was either a week before or right afterwards, I go to the new Bev to go watch a screening of Goodfellas, and Paul Sorvino was there.
Yeah,
that
in line, neat. Right? Just going to see the movie?
Yeah. It's great seeing it on the big screen. And Paul Sorvino was there along with the guy who wrote Goodfellas, and it was a good conversation. Did you know Paul Sorvino has a food company?
Shocking.
I know
the guy weighs like the Italian dude weighs like 900 pounds. He's got a food company.
Yeah, but all of his food products are sold back east. It wasn't until Vin pointed this out that he has a food. Did you get any of his? Did you buy any of his food products? I'm like, food products. I go online, He has a website, Paul Servino, but it's sold back east. It's not sold around here.
Son of a bitch.
You know, that's just the way
it is. You sure it's not a mafia front?
Pretty sure. Paul Servino was talking about, like, you know, we basically came from a family of actors and noblemen. It was like, he was talking about how difficult it was just to play the role he was in in Goodfellas. It was very interesting discussion, actually.
Paul Servino, by the way, amazing actor.
Very amazing.
So damn good, man.
And he's in, you know, he's been in over 100 movies.
Really?
Yeah. It's like probably more than Samuel L. Jackson. So,
what's the worst Paul Sorvino movie you can think of off the top of your head?
Christ,
I'm trying to think because I don't know if he. I don't remember.
See, I haven't seen it. I know he was in Repo: The Genetic Opera.
Was he really?
Yeah, but he was also in this movie called Mambo Italiano, which is like. I know about this. I've never seen the movie entirely. It's like it's a farcical, gay romantic comedy. Paul Sorvino's not the gay dude. Just want to point that out. No, he's the head of this Italian gay. It's a gay romantic comedy involving these two guys, and there's this family. Paul Sorvino's the patriarch of this Italian family in Montreal, of all places. And I'm like, I never watched it all the way through. It's weird. I never heard of it.
What, did you just shut it off or something?
No, I just never got through. I never finished it. I've seen it on parts of it on TV, but I've never seen it like a bad Paul Sorvino. Or something. Paul, you know, he's just working.
No, because he always does really good stuff.
And he's always supporting roles.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He was in Law and Order, so
that's
for
right.
a year.
That's right. Yeah,
it wasn't bad in that.
It was really good. He was in. He was even in Romeo and Juliet.
He was, and he was also Kissinger, Nixon.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he was in Romeo and Juliet, and
opposite Brian Dennehy.
Baz Luhrmann. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I like Baz Luhrmann.
I never liked that movie, though. It was so
you never
jarring.
Liked that movie?
I didn't like it at all. It was
what the hell?
Way too jarring.
Wait, that's weird to me, because, like, it seems like if you like Scott Pilgrim, you would like that Romeo and Juliet, because they're kind of the same thing. They're, like,
I mean,
outrageous and insane.
It is, but it seemed way too dialed up in Romeo and Juliet.
Well, yeah.
It was like Moulin Rouge. I didn't like that. The story was so big. Even though the story in Scott Pilgrim was so basic, I like the environment. I like everything about it. Moulin Rouge, I'm like...
Wait, we're not talking about Moulin Rouge. I'm talking
it's
about
the
Romeo
same
and
director,
Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. It was just because, obviously, you have the traditional Shakespeare text. And
that's
just,
so well done, man.
I don't know
that
why.
Is such
I mean,
a,
I
that
know.
Is, that was such a mind blowing interpretation. Of
really?
That.
I don't know why, for me, it just seemed like just the way everything moved and the world.
What
was
you mean, like the awesome cinematography and then the great actors and everything?
I just couldn't bring
just
my.
Too,
I just didn't enjoy
too
it.
Awful.
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm not. I mean,
when's the last time you saw it?
Probably a couple of years ago.
Wow. I'm sad right now.
I don't know, but it's maybe it's because I'm just not. I mean, the Shakespeare, listening to the text of Shakespeare does not grab me like.
So you don't like Shakespeare at all?
No, I mean I enjoy the themes. I know what Shakespeare is trying to do, but it's not like. Oh.
No, I'm saying like you don't. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to trap you into saying. I just meant you don't enjoy Shakespeare anyway.
Probably just because it's like it's hard for me. It's like, you know what? It's like I gotta go see fucking Hamlet. I really gotta go watch Hamlet tonight. It's not. Although the funny thing is, there's a version of. Richard III, but with Ian McKellen in a military setting. That actually, I always wanted to check that out. That probably would be great.
Well, I don't know. If you don't like Shakespeare, you might not.
I don't know. Somehow I could watch it, but I just didn't like the nature of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
That just wigs me out. I would have thought you would have really dug it.
I don't know why. Maybe just because I don't like Baz Luhrmann, probably. That's probably the main reason. Like, I did not like Moulin Rouge. I saw it in the theater.
You seem pretty upset about Moulin Rouge.
Fucking makes me mad. Makes me mad, I tell you. Fucking bullshit. But anyway.
I wasn't a fan of that one either, but I liked...
No one was.
I liked... Yeah, there's tons of people that love Moulin Rouge.
I know.
It's not me, though.
It's a shame.
It's a shame that they like it?
Yeah, I know it is, because it's not a very
That's
good
not
movie.
What... No, I'm quoting you. You said it's a shame that somebody likes a movie?
Yeah, right.
Okay, never mind.
I know.
We're going in circles here.
I know. Such a Mobius strip.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. There's other stuff going on in the news, as it were.
Well, there's two huge things going on.
Right.
Two things are going away.
Right.
Two things that
one I don't want to
more
go away.
Important to you than they were to me.
Very important. Well, one is the other one can get fucked for all I care. First off, you may have heard about this from the last from the most recent Brain Dead Radio episode. I called in, very despondent.
Yes.
About the. National V-neck crisis, as it were. As you can tell, I'm wearing the V-neck of thrift.
You're wearing
right
the
now.
Deepest V-neck I've ever seen. I could see a little bit of your navel.
I was about to pull it down for effect here, but
I looked away.
Otherwise, you would have gone blind.
I shielded my eyes.
He would have gone blind from the
stare. I'm serious, though. That is one deep V-neck.
Although the sad thing is this is a Gap V-neck.
Do they sell a super deep V-neck? Is that like a
No, this
a
is
thing?
I got this from the Gap. I had a coupon. I had to sell out, and I went to a different source for a V-neck. Because we're in the throes of a national V-neck crisis here.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, American Apparel, like any great fad, as it were, did the stupidest thing and overexpanded. Now they're pretty much teetering on bankruptcy. The question is, with American Apparel, as I said in my voicemail, well, first off, obviously there's not going to be a bad.
Well, this is all the fault of their sex criminal CEOs.
Pretty much. Pretty much. They overexpanded. They got into some really weird shit that no one's going to buy. I mean, their clothes are very comfortable. Now, I never bought into the fact that their stuff is too expensive. Their stuff is made in the U.S. It's a little pricier.
How much does it cost for an average V-neck?
Yeah, I'd have to
Let's say a V-neck T-shirt. What am
Maybe,
I going to...
I'm going to say $16 to $20.
That's a lot of money. Plain V-neck? Just plain old V-neck?
I think so.
It's quite a
But it's a high-quality piece of clothes, and it's made right here. So I figured...
apartment?
Right in my apartment. Even though I tried applying for them, they didn't hire me. I still
overqualified. You lost your mind at that point, though.
I did. I also made the god-awful mistake of wearing a tie. What the fuck was I thinking?
Over a V-neck, too. It just didn't make any sense.
Actually, had I done that, I probably would have been hired. But anyway, so the company's failing, teetering on bankruptcy, shareholders are pissed off, a lot of lawsuits. So yes, due to their sex criminal CEO, there's a lot of talk of him forcing his ass out. Because I don't know if the question is whether that company's going to survive. I'd like to have it survive because I do like their clothes for the most part. I think the biggest problem is that like any store or anything that takes off, they overexpanded. It's a classic case.
What other stores do you think have done the same thing?
Great examples and classic examples are actually Mrs. Fields Cookies.
They still exist.
They still exist in a much smaller form.
Yeah.
Probably shit, like any major, probably
Wait,
Abercrombie.
Mrs. Fields Cookies, where the hell was there, when was this, like in the early 90s?
80s.
80s?
Yeah, this is, my mom would always tell me about that.
wait, is there like a current example?
Fuck.
Because I can't remember them like ever doing that shit. Happening.
Unfortunately, I don't know. I can't think of anything where that like really overexpanded and just like killed itself very very.
Well,
bad.
Like
maybe
there
like
was...
Hot Topic.
But they haven't killed themselves. They're still around.
But
all
they've
of
shrank
them
themselves
around.
A bit. Like, you know, but
are you sure? Because I've all the ones that I've always seen are still around.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't know. It's tough. I do think though American Apparel like, overexpanded, but maybe it's like any other clothing store chain that can kind of like. That caters to a select market.
Like Mervyn's, it can just disappear.
Mervyn's is not a fad. Mervyn's is like...
Mervyn's was all the shit, and then it overexpanded and disappeared.
Yeah, right.
Over a 50-year period.
Yes, it overexpanded over a 50-year period. But, I think that was the biggest problem. And then, as I said, they got into weird clothes. They've kind of gotten into this weird preppy thing all of a sudden, which is way out of their area, and they should
like,
just...
Like what?
God, I don't know, like chinos?
Shirts with collars.
Shirts with collars.
Shirts that cover your chest.
Yeah, shirts that cover your chest. T-shirts with like weird shit pictures on them and shit on them or whatever. Yes, every T-shirt had a heart picture of a hot Carl on it. Between the T-shirts with Andy Kaufman, Big Bird, and hot Carls... But really, where else am I going to get my T-shirt that says "Legalize whatever the fuck the political cause célèbre is going on"? There's a need for this sort of thing, goddammit. I can't have this kind of thing disappear on me. I need a place to get my V-necks. Otherwise, I'm going to have to sell out, as I already have.
Where will you get your alternate V-necks from?
I'm gonna have to go to where I got this one from, the Gap.
The Gap? Why don't
basically
you just, what's
go,
wrong with the Gap?
Nothing wrong with the Gap. It's like, well, you know, it's the T-shirts are high quality.
You can get lots of khakis there.
I could. I have. And you could...
I've never physically been inside a Gap store.
Really?
Yeah.
It's where I usually get my regular clothes. It's a fine place. Doesn't smell. Music is... There's no, like, loud music. Clothes are fine.
You don't like music when you go into stores?
I don't like it where you're going to go deaf. That's the problem with, like, you've besides the smell in an Abercrombie is that you can't hear or breathe.
Abercrombie and Fitch. You know what's really funny? I don't think I've ever even seen an Abercrombie and Fitch.
You kidding? Fitch.
Where the hell is the nearest one around here?
Fashion Square, down the road.
Huh.
You can smell an Abercrombie down the road.
Yeah.
50, at least
What about
yards.
Urban Outfitters? You can go there.
Never gone there. I've been to American Eagle, but not. I had a gift card. I bought some khakis, and that was it. I went there 4 years ago. So, but yeah, so it's going to be. I hope, you know, we'll see what happens with American Apparel. I do think, I mean, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to close stores, obviously. It's either going to liquidate and completely go out of business,
and then you can get all the V-necks you need.
I know there's going to be a huge going out of business sale. I know. Fuck. If I had any money, I'd be like going to. I got to stock up. As I said, the National V-neck supplies in parallel. Not only that, where am I going to get these awesome three-colored ring socks? And yes, I know I could have gone to Target for this shit, but like I said, it was locally made, so I'm like, oh, okay.
Support American labor.
American slave labor.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, to me it was like of a higher quality, and they were unique colors.
Higher quality? What is higher quality in socks exactly? What is it?
Basically, they don't wear out, and they kind of stay fluffier.
Fluffier?
Yeah.
All right.
They're more comfortable.
Very well.
How
long have you had these right here?
These socks I must have paid like maybe $6.
No, how long have you had them?
Oh, God. I can't remember with this pair, but maybe a year or so.
Yeah? They're looking good for a year.
Yeah.
I'm going to back you up on your purchase.
Yeah.
So these are good socks.
Here's the thing. I know Rob was chewing me out on this, but, you know, there is a sort of thing where it's like you get what you pay for. I don't spend a lot of money on a lot of stuff, but there's sometimes when you pay for the good quality stuff. Because it lasts. You know, and it feels good, so you want to, you know...
Like silk underpants.
No, because you're going to feel hot and uncomfortable in silk underpants.
Yeah.
I don't buy silk underwear, so I can assure you. In fact, I would never buy the underwear at American Apparel. I'd never buy underwear that was designed for an 8-year-old boy, so... Fucking weirdness. But, it's a real shame. But like I said, you're right. Unfortunately, like I said, the CEO got too, you know, big for his britches... And jerked off in front of one reporter. Didn't I ever tell you that I was...
You jerked off in front of a reporter?
I did jerk off in front of a reporter once, and it was for Esquire. But I once talked to a guy. I know I've mentioned this. I once spoke to a guy who worked at American Apparel a couple years ago. He was at a downtown club. I asked him, I was like, is it true about the CEO being as big as a perv as he is? And he's like, yeah, it's all true, but he's a cool guy. I was like, really? So there you have it, folks.
It's true, but he's cool. It's all right.
Yeah, he's complete sleaze.
Yeah.
So, although I'm not going to lie, I've every so often looked at their website to think maybe I can get an accounting job there because you're like, yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
Well, you know, their books will be pretty easy to maintain soon.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. So, but yeah, I talk about the overexpansion just because they're up to their balls. Definitely up to their balls in debt, and there's just
got way. They're up to their undersized boy shorts in debt.
Yes, well said, well said. But speaking of the other businesses going out of business, as you know, for a long time, Blockbuster has been on their way out. Now they're definitely on their way of getting into bankruptcy. And
Blockbuster Video.
Fuck them.
Good fucking riddance.
Yeah, I know. Complete waste. Did you ever try it? Although the funny thing is, there was a time, and I may have mentioned this before, I can't remember. Did you ever want to apply at a video store or bookstore? I wanted to work at one. Although you worked at a comic book store.
Well, so. I applied to Barnes & Noble one time many years ago, and I never panned out.
Yeah, neither did I. I applied at Borders and never worked out. And that was a shame. I always would have thought, at least at a book... You know what it is that would have been better working at a bookstore than a video store? Because they touched on this in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. You work at a video store where they have the movies playing in the background. You have to listen to that all fucking day.
Yeah.
And at a video store, you're commonly going to have to play, you know, G-rated stuff for, you know, because kids are in there. So you can't play anything unique, and definitely nothing R-rated, so you're going to lose your mind fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I always liked Hollywood Video. I always thought they had the more unique stuff, you know?
Yeah, they had a better selection.
They had a better selection.
Yeah.
And it's just the way that it is. I like Netflix and I love InstaView. God, I love that fucking
InstaView gets better every day, literally.
It does. And I know that the price of Xbox Live is going to go up by $10, but it's, you know, and they're going to put Hulu Plus on there, so all other good stuff. But like I said, I have no doubt that there's going to be at some point they're going to probably charge like a slightly higher price for it, but it's all worth it. I mean, hell, you're going to have Netflix Instant on the iPhone now. I mean, really, it's unbelievable now. But yeah, Blockbuster, fuck them. It's funny that, like, because they were the store that pretty much destroyed the local, you know, the local mom and pop video store.
Well, also they did that, but it was such a horseshit store. I mean, I guess if you wanted video games, I didn't rent a lot of games from Blockbuster, but I had friends who did.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you wanted games, they were in all right place, but for movies, they were pretty shitty.
Right.
Video stores always sucked anyway, those big chain video stores, because they never had anything that you wanted to get, like anything at all. Like, I mean, new, old, they just never had it. Unless you wanted to see, like, the biggest bullshit Julia Roberts movie that just came
out. Where they had 100 billion copies.
Yeah, it's like every other movie was gone, you know? It's like, it's just, the selection was retarded. I remember even back, like, a couple years ago, like in 2007 or so, when I have a Blockbuster right down the street from me where I live right now, and when we just moved here, Marissa and I went over there just to look and see what the hell they had, just to rent something, because, like, you know, at that time, Netflix InstaView wasn't as big as it is now and all that stuff, so it's like, you just go check it out. And it was retarded. It was insane. They just had, they had
the
nothing.
Store is
the
a
selection
horrible shit.
Was bullshit.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I mean, there was a time, like I said, it was way back when there would just be the neighborhood video store. There's still a unique video store across the street from where you used to work, actually, 2020 Video, but I haven't been there in years. I'm surprised they're still in business.
2020 Video is actually really cool because they have really cheap movies. They have cheap DVDs you can buy.
And and I think at least half the store now is devoted to porn.
It is. It's growing every day.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's not three quarters already.
I think it is. It's pretty substantial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because you have to go near that section to look at the used DVDs.
And yeah, and
it's
half
like
the
half
store is
the
divide.
Store. Yeah, it's like right there. It's in your face.
It is. And I even remember the days of Blockbuster Music. Remember that place?
No. Oh. I mean, I remember, like, I just never went there.
Yeah. Well, that was in the day when you had to pay $20, $25 for a CD.
Yeah.
So,
I think you still have to pay that, by the way. A new CD, it's like... 20,
no, you don't.
$20.
No.
Yeah, man. If you want like a new CD at the store,
$12 at Best Buy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Best Buy, yeah. But like, if you go to Second Spin or you go to, I mean, Second Spin, you get the
well,
used.
Well, the
you
used
get
the one,
used
yeah,
one,
the new, new
but the
CDs.
New one will still be like $25.
Yeah, it's stupid. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that Blockbuster, I mean, could very much be liquidated at this point. I'm serious, and there's real talk of it, just because, and I mean, they're just in a dying business, and good riddance. You know, that's all I say. It's And it is kind of a shame when you have something close, except for those guys.
Except for Blockbuster.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, all the Hollywood video stores are gone. And then, you know, it's like, it's funny, like, when you sometimes see, like a fast food place close, it's like, huh? How did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, why would that close?
I mean, like what in particular?
Great example is, like, there's a Del Taco, used to be a Del Taco on Highland in Santa Monica. This is a great place. You'd always go there after you're done clubbing in Hollywood and see all, like... Apparently, the funny thing was, like...
The man hookers and transvestites.
There's that. And is that when I used to go to industrial dancing, I'd occasionally go there after I'd go. Well, when I'd go there, I wasn't aware of this at the time, but I would be like, why are all these tricks walking at 2 a.m.? So, and then later, I realized the reason that was happening is because right across the street in this huge venue... It was a massive gay club, which has moved to the Avalon on Vine. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Well, that Del Taco is no longer there. And it's always funny to think, like, you see something like that, or a gas station go out of business. Like, really? It's like, of all the things to go out of business, it's like this. It's like a grocery store going out of business. It's odd.
Yeah, what's so happening?
You just don't see that, and it's...
Yeah. That's weird, but I guess they got rid of it because of the shit going on in there. Can you
maybe.
Imagine what was going on in the bathroom?
Perhaps, or...
Probably just burn the place down one day.
Perhaps. I think they just got bought out and they just redeveloped the place. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, it's weird sometimes seeing a boarded-up place like that. But then where I used to live, there used to be abandoned places all over the place, and they never... There's still abandoned places I could remember that were been closed for at least, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, so...
Well, there's a huge empty field down the street from me over here, too.
That field has been there for years. It's been at least there for at least 10 years.
In the middle of Ventura Boulevard.
I know.
Which is a pretty, like, industrious area.
Really, yeah, pricey real estate. And it's probably the case of, like, some guy owns it but doesn't want to do anything. It's weirdest behavior.
It's
weird. I want to leave that thing bare.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucking insane. That's all there is to it. And speaking of that, speaking of insane, did you hear the CeeLo video for Fuck You?
Yeah, man, I was the one that put it up on Facebook.
Actually.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great song.
Yeah, it was awesome. Did you see? Wait, which video did you like better? Because they did the text version and they did the real.
I like the text version.
I like the text version better.
A lot
well.
Better.
The,
it's more
the real video, unfortunately, didn't live up to the song.
Of course not. Of course not. But I think we now have a new crazy for the decade. So that could be the song of the teens, I think, right there.
I thought this one was better than Crazy.
I like this one a lot better because, you know, one thing, you can't get it played on the radio. Because have you heard the radio edit version of that?
No.
Stupid as hell.
What the hell did they...
Forgive you. You know, it's like that. It's stupid.
What? Are you serious?
They profiled the song on NPR.
Oh, my God.
So they actually talked about it, and they bleeped it when they were talking about the song. And then they were like, they played the radio edit version, and it's stupid as all hell. So
that's horrifying. I didn't realize they're gonna put that on the radio.
Yeah, it's gonna be totally dumb, completely dumb. So yeah, that's pretty much the highlight of the summer. I mean, really, it's been a quick summer. It really has.
Yeah.
Not much.
Did we talk about Scott Pilgrim at all?
I think we did.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure we did.
There we go.
Although, like I said, you gotta really—I don't know if you still haven't had a chance to check out the books, but really do. Because there's so much more to it. I still think they were better off, as I was rereading, because I was rereading Volume 4. If we had Judd Apatow's Scott Pilgrim, it would have been more like the books, and it would have been 5 hours long.
Yeah, it would have been awful.
It would have been awful, because I like Apatow a lot, but he would not, he definitely was ill-suited. And I think he got too big for his britches on Funny People. I mean, it's way too much. He overstuffed that thing way too much. Did you see Funny People? Or
no. I don't like Apatow. I stay away from all of Apatow's stuff.
Which is a shame, because, I mean, there's some really good stuff.
I've seen his stuff. I don't watch him anymore. I didn't see Funny People. I'm not going to see whatever he does next.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. For those, like, 3 years, he was everywhere, and he's, like, kind of cooled down. So.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need the money. So. Although there was talk of him doing, it was like a Ninja Turtles movie or something like that? Or
Judd Apatow's Ninja Turtles?
Some shit like that. He was going to play something back. I can't remember, though.
Better not be Ninja Turtles, man.
I think so. Can't fucking remember, though. I think it was. Oh, no, it was Pee Wee Herman.
Well, that's a huge difference.
Yeah. You know, some shit like that. But, that's basically it. I mean, other than that, you know, we're just going to, you know, celebrate the fact of the working man and, and after that, Halloween, baby. Yeah.
That's right.
You got anything going on for Halloween yet?
I have no plans as of yet. Might be doing the same thing as last year, but I have a costume in mind. We'll see how it comes out.
Yeah, I'm still indifferent on a costume.
Costumeless? Wait, what about Pee Wee Herman?
Fuck no. Because I'm not going to cut my hair.
Pee Wee Herman. If anyone
has Pee Wee Herman after he got busted at the porn.
If anyone has any ideas For
what Ed should go as
on Halloween, please.
Please leave a comment at forums.braindeadradio.com.
Yes.
I'll listen to your suggestions and most likely reject them, but I'll listen to them anyway because I know it's going to be like three jackasses. It's going to relate to something to Bob Geldof, which is like, could you believe that? Apparently, I look like Bob.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't know what the hell.
It's that
face. It's like the face like Joseph Gordon Levitt has, so.
Yeah.
Although, like I said, Scott Pilgrim may be something the way to go, but...
too easy.
You would have to be, like, you'd have to be in a big group.
You can borrow my sword if you want.
No, that's okay, because I'm not going to be Scott, so...
Oh, okay.
I'd have to end up being Gideon or some shit like that. Basically, be Jason Schwartzman, so I'd have to, like, lower my, you know, shrink myself down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get it.
Well, you can get a sword, too. You can get a big glowing sword.
Is that like at the end of the movie?
No, it's not. At the end of the movie, he has a sword.
Yeah, I know. He has a pixelated sword.
You look confused. You look genuinely confused. Like, you have no idea what I was talking about.
So, yeah, like I said, if you haven't already, check out the Scott Pilgrim video game. I can't recommend it enough.
And if you have a local Blockbuster near you and it's
closed...
Tell
them to go get fucked.
Go ahead.
Leave a flaming bag on the doorstep.
Go up and urinate all over the
Ed Hawkins Show does not condone public indecency. If you do that, that is on your own accord. If you want to leave a flaming bag or take a big
piss. We take full responsibility for whatever you do to a local Blockbuster chain
that's
recently closed.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
do what you can to support American Apparel, because not so much for, you know, douchebag Dove Charney, but also from Montreal, oddly enough. But I said,
and burn down your local American Apparel.
I don't know what burning down would help their financial situation at all. This is not.
They're
not going
to
get
to close chains.
Are you saying the insurance money?
Do the math. Do the math. They got to close up some chains. There's people who want to burn things. Let's just, you know, bring it all together.
You mean do the math?
Do the math.
For God's sake. I don't know about that. Anyway.
You'll be helping them out.
Right. Or until the massive going out of business sale
occurs. Do the right thing.
That's right. Throw a trash can through the window of an American Apparel. For that, for the Ed Hawkins Show, I'm Ed Hawkins.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy.